Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Inflation, recession, the words are in the air now following remarks by the chairman of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell. I welcome Liz Peek, a columnist at The Hill, a columnist at Fox News, much on Fox Business, to comment on this strange moment when we can doubt everything until we get serious detailed numbers about how the slowdown is affecting America's behavior at the marketplace, at the gas pump, planning for the future, and an investment. Investment is reflected in the stock market's decline in these last weeks. Liz, a very good day to you. The present circumstance is driven by this word recession. Is there a recession coming in the next 12 months, 24 months? And we get various predictions by esteemed counselors on Wall Street, trying to prepare their portfolios and their investor class for a slowdown. My measure of a slowdown would be that America's consumers hesitate in the purchasing power we have gathered these last 2 years because of the pandemic. My measure in my little part of the world talking to people is that, yes, we have hesitated in purchasing. There's caution in the wind. We also had a negative number from the GDP in the first quarter of 2022. And the Atlanta Fed, which keeps these books, says that we're now at zero for the second quarter. That was as of the end of May. Is a recession, is that word recession profound, Liz? Is it going to change our behavior or the planning that Jerome Powell indicates he and the board members are going to do their next meetings all summer long into the fall? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I think it already has changed our behavior. As you point out, we saw retail sales fall in May. No particular reason for that, except I think consumers were assessing the impact of soaring inflation way above what any of the so-called experts or policymakers had predicted, assessing what impact that had on their plans. We know anecdotally, but also just in terms of statistics, what are Americans eager to do coming out of the downturn, coming out of COVID lockdowns? They are desperate to travel, and traveling they are. But what it means is they are spending less on other things like goods. And what we've seen as a result is a fall off in not only retail sales, but also in durable goods orders and all the kinds of things that go into that enormous boom in spending that we saw during 2021, when Americans really couldn't go anywhere, couldn't go out to eat, so they just spent an enormous amount of money on goods. Now they are spending more on services. But overall, John, all the things that led to the big, great consumer breakthrough, even during COVID, rising consumer net worth, very strong jobs market, et cetera, is now going in the opposite direction. The jobs market is still strong. We'll see how much so this week with another read on unemployment claims. But unemployment claims have been ticking down very gradually. Yes, they're still very low, but some sectors, particularly tech, are seeing a number of companies saying, "Yeah, we're halting hiring. We're beginning to lay off some people that we don't need." Obviously, the biggest of those, most worrisome, maybe somebody like Amazon, which again reflects consumer spending. But there is a sense, so far, pretty undefined, that the great scramble for workers is coming to an end. Not that there aren't still lots of jobs unfilled, but that a lot of companies are taking a little bit of a wait-and-see attitude towards filling those jobs for the first time in a while. But I would also say, whatever administration thinks that the stock market is not important to behavior and does not impact the nation's mood is telling themselves a falsehood, because in fact, a lot of people have money invested in the market. Over half the country does. And it is also seen as a bellwether about economic conditions. So not only do you have the Fed and the administration and everybody else talking about stomping down on inflation by raising interest rates, which of course raises prices for things like housing. But you know, you also just have a tremendous amount of data indicating that earnings for the S&P are not going to be what everyone thought they were. The growth rate's not going to be where everyone expected it to be. And to your point, you know, we went backwards in quarter one. There were a lot of explanations for that, kind of one-offs about imports and so forth. But in quarter two, if we also have a negative read, that is by definition a recession. So we're either in it or we're on the cusp. And I don't think many people are now surprised by that.
We're entering into a debate we can find in the Wall Street Journal reporting, for example, within these hours, Sam Goldfarb reporting, a battle has broken out in bond markets pitting investors' fears of inflation against their concerns about slowing growth. The result is heightened volatility and a cloudy outlook for other investments. And then from the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis, James Bullard, who's been identified with hawkish positions these last Fed meetings. Mr. Bullard says the economy appears on track for more expansion this year. The quote is, U.S. labor markets remain robust. Output is expected to continue to expand through 2022. Risks remain substantial and stem from uncertainty around the Russia-Ukraine war and the possibility of a sharp slowdown in China. Well, Liz, the debate is among the professionals, one of whom sits on the Federal Reserve Board and is identified as a hawk. The others are in the bond market, which I understand rule the universe. I understand that. So we don't have to decide. It's just that what does this mean, not for the investors only, but for the prospect of a recovery? If we're in a recession, have we got the tools to recover? If the Federal Reserve thinks price stability, a.k.a. inflation, is important, does that mean we're going to take this slowdown and we're going to ride it out through the rest of the year?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I mean, in a sense, what can go right? An awful lot of the problem, let's face it, is energy. And there are two things of importance that we have no control over whatsoever. One, China. There has been, in my view, far too little discussion of what's going on in China. China has been a powerhouse economy for how long? 20, 30 years. And right now, because of the COVID lockdowns, they are really in free fall. And that is certainly impacting the demand for oil and oil prices. Should China recover, if they loosen up their COVID regulations or somehow figure out a way to get back to business, even in spite of them, oil demand is going to go through the roof and oil prices are going to follow. So that's one thing we don't really know how to assess. The second thing certainly is the war in Ukraine. And I think at some point, our administration and the governments of Europe, I assume, are going to say to Ukraine, settle this, because and settle it or win it or something. We have to have resolution, because right now I read the news out of Ukraine is being pretty negative for Ukraine, positive for Russia, and it's terribly important. I mean, we're reading of the UN talking about worldwide food shortages, and yes, the United States will be okay, but an awful lot of poor countries are talking famine if they don't solve the war in Ukraine. So I have to think that there will be a push for that. When it happens, who knows? But again, a lot of the inflation pressure certainly is coming from there. And so that's another huge uncertainty. In the short run, if President Biden goes to Saudi Arabia and if he kowtows to Mohammed bin Salman, which he needs to do and I think will do, it's conceivable to me that OPEC will announce that they're increasing production. There is a debate about how much that actually can impact oil output. But to the extent that they can perhaps raise production another million barrels a day or whatever, that could certainly help calm oil markets. And that would be a big, big factor in inflation going forward. As far as the impact on recession, though, John, I don't even know if that it matters. I mean, what in a sense would be good news, it seems to me, and maybe the market will start to look at it this way. What we really want is a short recession that brings down prices and solves the Fed's inflation problem, instead of a long, dreary, multi-year slowdown, which is kind of what the New York Fed is expecting, which I think would be just ghastly for stocks, for companies, for consumers, for everybody. It would eat into everyone's long-term optimism. I think of our country being optimistic. Right now, they are profoundly pessimistic.
Yes, yes.
We have to look for, you know, blue sky at some point, and we got to see that at some point.
That consumer confidence number, Liz, that told us where the story is. Never
horrible.
Lower than the last report. A detail here. Presuming, and it's a lot of presumption, we are in a recession. Does Jerome Powell waver? Because there'll be pressure on him to back off on the 0.75 points.
I don't think he can right now. I think he has to stick to combating inflation. He has said that that is their number one priority. They've already undertaken this. My guess is that we'll have another 75 basis point hike, and then it slows down. And then they will wait and see what happens. Again, the Fed is not able to impact supply of oil, supply of goods, supply of imports from China. No matter what interest rates are, those things are really out of their control. So it may be that they don't want to crush some segments like housing, which is one of the sectors of the economy most immediately impacted by higher interest rates, because that isn't necessarily the source of inflation. It has been. Excuse me, I don't want to suggest housing prices aren't a factor. They are, and it's a big factor in the CPI. But I think the Fed has got to balance their hawkishness on inflation against the fact that they can't really control oil prices and some other things. But my guess is Jay Powell is so under the gun for being late to the party. I don't think he can do an about-face now. The real risk, John, not that there are plenty of others right now, is that I think it's the case that every time the Fed has tightened, there is some sort of financial crisis,
right.
Some sort of bubble pops.
Right.
Everyone thinks that might be crypto, but really we don't know. The good news is the banks are solid. I just talked over the weekend to a lot of bankers. Everyone thinks the banks can handle whatever comes along. They don't have big exposure to crypto. Let's hope that's true.
Liz Peek, columnist at The Hill, columnist at Fox News. We're going to turn to energy. Liz mentions energy. The administration has proposals about what is to be done with the price of gasoline that continues to climb. What is to be done in the immediate? And we can also speculate what is to be done over the term. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.